We're going to get started. I want to say hi to all of our campuses, all of our online campus. We're so glad to have you as well. But we want to talk about our Seaboard Road campus, our Norfolk campus, our Wilson campus. We have two campuses in Richmond, one in Glen Allen, one in downtown Richmond. Can we all just welcome everybody? We're one big family. Does anybody know the theme of Wave Church this year? Does anybody know the theme by any chance? Does anybody happen to know? What is it? Yeah, there it is right there. Putting God first. Now, I want to make it clear. It's not that he wasn't first last year. And it's not that he won't be first next year. We're just putting an emphasis on it this year. Amen? So I don't want you to somehow think we only have to put God first in 2024. And the rest is negotiable. I'm wanting to bring an emphasis to us as a church. The Bible says, I think it's Psalm 86, it says, "You, O Lord, have crowned the year with your goodness." And every year I look for God to give what I call the theme, the crowning of this year. What do we want to focus on this year? Last year was taking new ground. This year, as I went away to pray and seek God, I really felt like it was putting God first. So what we do is in our church is we teach in different series throughout the year. This is the first series we've been able to teach because I've been all of February and half of March traveling across all of our campuses doing Vision Sunday. So we've already done that. So now I want to give you the first of our teaching series. And I thought if it's putting God first as the theme, we might want to put that theme first. That's good wisdom right there, isn't it? Hard to believe it took us to April to get that theme out, but we're here now. Praise the Lord. Putting God first. So, we've welcomed our campuses. Matthew 6:33. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." But seek what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm telling you, we live in a generation today where we seek all the other things. We live in a culture today that is all about the other things, and we want those things added to us. And if we have time for God, we'll fit you in. And the Bible says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." All these things will come. God knows you have need of them. But he's trying to give us a sense of priorities. And God demands to be first. Amen? Listen to Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God," watch this, "with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That word soul literally means your mind, your will, and your emotions. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength." Now watch, "These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts." I wonder if that's really something we have on our hearts. Because it's a commandment that you would love the Lord your God. I wonder, it's something we just go, what's that commandment? How does that go? Or is it really in our hearts? And not just in our hearts, but on our hearts. And I wonder how intentional are we with loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Matter of fact, God takes it another level. "These commandments that I give you," and these are not suggestions, "these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." Amen. I wonder whether we've done that. I wonder if those of us who are still raising kids, whether we take this commandment and we've taken it where we've impressed it on our kids. Amen. Hey, kids, more than anything else, you got to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I wonder how intentional are we in doing that? I think our own example is really important there. Because Because if you're teaching one thing but you're living another thing, that isn't going to work. But then it takes it another level. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So at the dinner table, hey kids, how do you think we can love God with all our heart? Let me tell you what I think. How can we love when you sit down, when you get up, when you're walking, when you're at home? And it's a commandment that God gives us. God demands to be first. He's not messing. He's not asking. He's not giving you options here. He's telling you this is how it's going to be. Anybody say amen? Amen. It says in Exodus 34, "For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God will not share his glory with anything or anyone." Amen. We're to worship him and him alone. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus said you can't serve both God and money. Amen? So God's not saying this will be nice if you did this. God's saying this is how it's going to be. Now watch this. Revelation 22, verse 13, Jesus said, "I am Alpha," which means the beginning, "and I am Omega," which means the end. That's what I wanted to call our first two children, the first and the last. But no, Sharon wanted to have a third. So Josh is called Delta, Alpha, Delta, Omega. Jesus said, "I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end." Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, who was the author or the starter and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I could imagine in a generation that we live in today, there'd be people saying, "Well, why should God be first? Who's he think he is? God?" Yeah. He is our creator. Amen. And he made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Let me tell you about who this God is. This God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. God is in an empty room. Let me tell you what David said. David said, "Where can I go from your spirit? If I take the wings of the dawn and fly off to the most furthest parts of the earth, even there, your hand is there to guide me and your spirit is there." He said, if I were to make my bed in Hades, hell, even there, you were there. If I were to say darkness is to consume me, even the darkness shall be bright as the day, for in you there is no darkness. Let me tell you, God is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. That word omnipotent means he, God, has unlimited power. He is all powerful. He is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's all present. Somebody say amen. He is the creator of everything of this world. Everything. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. I love the fact that that sentence starts like that. The very first verse in the Bible, the very first, in the beginning. Not a Big Bang theory, not Darwin. Not some thought that we came from some explosion, but in the beginning, God. Not Lady Gaga, not Taylor Swift, for all the Swifties out there that worship Taylor. Before we start banging on those, let's make sure we all have idols in our lives that have got to come down. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But in the beginning, God. I'm so glad it was God in the beginning. Not Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Amen. Amen? I'm so glad in the beginning, God, not CNN and not Fox. In the beginning, God, not Instagram, not X, not Pinterest. Praise the Lord. I don't even know what Pinterest is. I think it's a girl thing, is it? Is it a girl thing? All the men have been very quiet. The nose, oh, I don't know, man. Could be. In the book of Revelation, it tells us how this earth will end. In Genesis, it tells us where we all came from. We came from God. But in Revelation, and if Jesus is Alpha and Omega, he's the beginning and the end. There is no time with him. He's in eternity. Amen? And so Genesis says God started all, and at least as far as earth life is concerned, Revelation tells us the devil's defeated. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and it tells us the reality of eternity. Amen. David knew. He said, we came from God and we're going to God. He created us. He predestined us. Who are we to question God? Well, why do you demand to be first? He just tells us he will be. And he will not share his glory with anyone or anything. Amen. It reminds me of Job. I love Job. Boy, if you ever read Job, it's full of dinosaurs and all sorts of things. You need to read Job. You really need to read the book of Job. Job used to confuse me and give me a lot of questions. But Job asks God about how God would seem to allow human suffering. Now, keep in mind, Job is having his moment, and he's going to ask God about human suffering. So here's how it works. Job knocked on heaven's door, hoping to gain a legal court of hearing so that he could ask God some tough questions. Don't you ever hear that sometimes? When I get to heaven, I want to ask God some tough questions. When you get to heaven, and if you get to heaven, and you think you're going to stand before the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who the Bible says that Jesus' eyes are like lightning, his garment is as radiant and as white and as shining that you could barely behold his glory. Oh, you're not going to stand there and go, all right, God, some questions for you. Answer me. You will drop to your knees with your face to the ground, and all you're going to cry out is holy, holy, holy. But Job's going to give it a crack. He's going to give it a shot. I want to ask God some questions, all right? Some tough questions about human suffering. And then instead of appearing in a court to accuse God of the unfairness of human suffering, God shows up in a tornado and interrogates Job with 77 rhetorical questions. I counted them. Because God had a whole bunch of questions. Job, you want to question me? Well, I'm going to question you. And Job couldn't answer any of the 77 questions. None of the questions containing about anything to do with human suffering. God never even addressed the subject. These questions, however, showed Job's ignorance of God's greatness. Here it is, Job 38. Look at this. Get ready for a difficult task like a man. Here's God talking to Job. Job, you're going to man up right now. I got something tough for you, and I want to ask you like a man. And you be ready now to answer my questions. Are you ready for this? Because Job wants to question God. You already got this? And Job is asked by God 77 questions, listen, about cosmology, oceanography, meteorology, and astronomy that cannot be answered by puny, finite men. And the first question God's asking Job, I love this. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's a good start right there. Amen. Look at Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Don't you love how God puts that? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Surely you were there, Job. Were you helping me, guiding me, counseling me, giving me advice and wisdom? Who marked off his dimension? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or where were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it to set at its doors and bars in place? When I said, thus you may come this far and no further. Here it is where your proud waves halt. Let me ask you a question. Is God really first? Is he really? How do I put God first? That's the start of this series. We'll be talking about it for another 3 weeks. What does it look like for God to be first? Now, here's one way I think we'll know if God's first. God's first if his word is first. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Come on. I mean, Norfolk, shout me down because Great Neck here are asleep. If his word is first. In other words, we choose to live in submission and obedience to his word, irregardless of what we think. That we trust him at his word and his wisdom because he's all powerful, all knowing, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent. Come on, he's omnipresent. When his word, when it's in contradiction to my own thoughts, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. And there's a lot of people today doing what seems right to them. But if my life and my lifestyle and my thinking is in contradiction to the word of God, I will 100% bring my life and my lifestyle back in alignment with the wisdom of the word of God. No, you don't clap. Some of you ain't doing it. Now, I'm not condemning anyone because if we get it wrong, we can at least get it right. But don't clap that quick. Because I actually don't think some of the choices and decisions we make is really making sure God's word is first. All right, give you an example. I meet some people. Man, I'm studying the word. I love that. The Bible says study the word to show yourself approved. Able to handle the word of God. I love it. Study the word. But sometimes people say, I'm studying the word. Like I'm a student, I'm examining God. I'm a student, I'm studying the word. Oh yeah, I get you. I find the word more studies me.
Come on, that's good.
When I'm reading the word, I go, dang. Oops. I'm not sitting there going, let me see if I approve. Do you understand the difference now? I'm studying the word. Do I agree with this or do I not agree? No. I read the Bible in such a way that it studies me. Amen. And it corrects me and it challenges me and it changes me. Amen. Yeah. Come on, someone. How do we know if God's first? If his will is first.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hear people say to me a lot, Steve, you need to know. God's a big part of my life. That's a big part of my life, God. I go, well, would you care telling me what part he's not big? Like, where do you leave God out? Do you leave him out in your sexuality? Oh, yeah, got quiet. Oh, do you leave him out with your finances? You know that whole thing, giving, tithing. Yeah, well, see, I'm not there. Oh, what about that? He's a big part of my life. But I got to keep him out of my business because if I bring God in my business, I got to have integrity.
Come on. Amen.
Oh, okay, we'll keep going. I mean, let's be honest. I'm calling this theme this year, Put God First, because I'm speaking to me. And everybody has priorities. Come on, you got priorities. I'll help you find out what your priorities are real quick. We all have priorities, and we do it, don't we? We put this first, and that second, and that's kind of down in the lower. So God's going, I just demand to be first. Come on. You have priorities. You make decisions based on your priorities every day. I'm asking you and I'm asking me, is God really first? Amen. How do we put God first? I think Jesus said it best. Matthew 6:21. Look at this verse. Where your treasure is, there will your what? Be also. So how do we know if we're putting God first? Well, Jesus said, where your treasure is. Now, remember, the commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And now Jesus is giving us an idea about how do we know what's first in our heart is by where we put our treasure.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Amen? I have kids. And when they were growing up, you mess with my kids, you will soon discover my treasure. Amen? I've got grandkids. You mess with my grandkids, and you'll discover my kids are no longer a priority. They're just a means to an end. How do we know if God's first? Show me your treasure. Show me your bank book. Let me see where your money's going. I'll tell you where your heart is.
Right. Come on.
That's one surefire way that Jesus himself said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Let me show you what it looks like in Scripture. Genesis 4, verse 2. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. These are hardworking young men. That'd be a good thought for people today. Be hardworking. The best way for young people to stand out today is just be that little bit more resilient than everybody else.
Amen.
The bar's never been lower. It's never been lower. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. Some. Everybody say some. As an offering to the Lord. Hey, God got a thought. God got a look in. You seeing this? In the course of time, I need to give God some. That's like that person that said, yeah, God's a big part of my life, except what are the parts you leave him out in? In the course of time. Do you know what Cain is doing? He's giving God his leftovers. In the course of time, when I figure out what my bills are, who I got to pay, what it cost to work this and get this return and take care of everything in the course of time. Distribution, allocation, where does this need to go? How do I bring a profit? Oh, look, I got something left over. Hey, God, this will be for you. You say, we're not like that. Yeah, in the course of time, we consider what we got to pay in our taxes. We got to consider our kids' education fund, our mortgage payment, our car payment. And if there just happens to be a little bit left for God, God, you can have the leftovers. Got very quiet. And Abel brought an offering. Fat portions. Everybody say fat portions. From some of the firstborn of the flock. Notice the course of time versus firstborn. What's the difference? Abel said, God, you're getting the firstborn. You're getting the first fruits. You're not an afterthought. You're first. What did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I'm just talking to us. Is God first?
Good.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
But look what the Bible says. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry. Boy, can't money make us moody? And his face was downcast. Can't money make us depressed? And then the Lord said, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? Why are you depressed? If you do what's right, you'll be accepted. You want me to accept you, but you didn't put me first. God's not joking about being first. Are you seeing this? But if you do not do what is right, watch, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over. Another translation says you must master it. Because if you don't, it will master you. Everybody got this? Exodus 13. Look what the Bible says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, consecrate to me all the what? Come on, church. All the... Okay, Wilson, they're asleep here in Great Neck. Wilson, all the what? Whoever or whatever rather opens the womb of young children of Israel, both man and beast. Listen to what God says. That's mine. What did God say? The firstborn is mine. God demands to be first. Whatever is firstborn, listen to what God says. That's mine. It's not yours. It's his. Exodus 13, verse 12. That you set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, watch this. Every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Exodus 13, verse 13. But every firstborn of a donkey, now here's the difference now, you shall redeem with a lamb. This is clean and unclean animal. I'm going to explain it, okay? And if you redeem it, if you will not redeem it, then you should break its neck. It's of no use to anything or anyone. Kill it. Everybody got this? And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So let me just explain what these verses are saying. In Exodus, the firstborn among beasts that were clean, everybody say clean, had to be sacrificed. Every firstborn that was amongst clean had to be sacrificed. Everybody got that? While the firstborn of the unclean had to be redeemed. Everybody got that? And these two classifications are examples of what was to come. God's firstborn son, Jesus, was clean. And based on what he says in Scripture, he had to be sacrificed. While we who are unclean, and therefore Jesus was sacrificed for our redemption. God gave Jesus first in faith, even while we were sinners. Jesus is God's tithe. And what you do with the first redeems the rest. We are redeemed because he who was clean became unclean, and we're redeemed. Think about this. The children of Israel went into the promised land, and God said, bring all the silver and all the gold from Jericho into the house of God. Why didn't he say, bring a tithe from Jericho? Because Jericho was the first city. God demands first. Everybody catching this? Okay. So he didn't ask for a tithe. Everybody hearing me? It was very simple. Jericho was the first city. He said, bring the first into the house of the Lord, and the rest is redeemed. You can have everything else, but I demand to be first. Amen? And now they're out from under a curse. They're blessed. The first portion is the redemptive portion. Please hear me. When you give the first to God, the rest is redeemed. Proverbs 3. It says, we're to honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of all our increase. When we do this, we invite God's blessing into our lives. Your barns will be filled, plenty, your vats will overflow. Listen to what it says in the King James. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, the pay rise, the bonus. You honor the Lord. And you don't decide where it goes. God says, that's mine. Well, I think I'll give some over here and I'll give some. No, you bring it to God's house.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm woo, tipping toe through some tulips. You need to hear it.
Good.
Leviticus 27. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Let me tell you the problem we live with today. We live in a generation just like King Saul. God gives his command, and yet somehow we think we are free to interpret what God meant to say. And let me show you what that looks like. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of sheep I hear in my ears? And the lowing of oxen that I hear. Then Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord as an offering. Everybody got this? Then Samuel said, shut up. No, he didn't say that. He said, be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you to be king of Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they were consumed. Why? Did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And this is the part I love. Then Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed. I did what the Lord told me to do. I've gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. And I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. And I've destroyed utterly the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, the sheep, and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord. Then Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed that of the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he is also rejecting you as king. God's not playing. He demands to be first.
Right.
This is not open for conversation. Here's what I think this is saying. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We got the best. God said destroy it all. But we got the best because we felt like you deserved the best, Lord. We are going to present an offering to you. But God said, no, it's all mine. You're not giving me something that's already mine. Amen? Are you catching this? Here's what he's saying. Don't interpret. Obey. Well, I thought you meant. Oh, boy, was that a repeated phrase in my house to my children. Do not interpret what I'm telling you. Obey what I'm telling you. Put out the trash now. Clean your room now. My biggest problem in my married life was my wife didn't mind if the room wasn't tidy. She wanted a happy home, but I wanted a clean home because a clean home is a happy home. The only problem is I'm the greatest hypocrite in the world because I won't clean the home. Just so many of you don't think I'm dissing Sharon there. And I soon discovered, well, actually, truth be told, a happier home is a lot more important than just a clean home. Be nice to have both. What is this verse telling me? Don't let people lead you. And don't follow people, lead people. But the people wanted to do this. Who's the king? Come on. Amen? And here's the last thought I think this verse is telling me. God sees our disobedience as rebellion, which is of the sin of witchcraft. In today's Harry Potter world, we don't even think witchcraft is a sin anymore. And I know some of you are rolling your eyes with me, right? Oh, gosh, here he goes again on Harry Potter. I just want to say it. God sees this as rebellion, which he sees. And I'm asking you, and I'm not sitting here going, I got it all together. But I'm asking you and I'm asking me, is he first? How do we know if he's first? When his word and his will and where our treasure is, a surefire indication of whether God really is first in our lives. And I got to finish with one more Bible story. Is that okay? Can I give you one more Bible story? Have I offended too many people? Are you all good? We're reading a lot of the Bible today because people say, what do you think? Who gives a rip what I think? What does the Word say? Amen? Amen? I want to know what the Word says. Look at this. Last story, I'm done. I'm landing with this. Singers, musicians, come on back. Where are they? Are they out back having a cigarette? Where are you guys? Are they coming? Slowly they're coming. Joshua 7. But the Israelites were unfaithful, watch this, in regard to the devoted things. You know what devoted things are? Things that are set apart as holy. First fruits. Everybody got this? Okay. And Achan, everybody say Achan. It says, took some of the devoted things. Everybody say Achan took devoted things. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. Achan took a devoted thing, and God's ticked off with the whole nation. Did you see that? Achan took some devoted things, and God's mad with the whole of Israel. Did you see that? Just thought I'd point that out. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho. Somebody tell me what was the name of the first city that Joshua took going into the promised land. Jericho. So it was first. So God said, destroy everything because what's first is mine. Everybody got it? So now Joshua sent men from Jericho to go to artificial intelligence. No, AI. Which is near Beth Haven, east of Bethel. And he told them, go and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out AI. And when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against AI. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Don't worry the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, and they, Israel, were routed by the men of Ai. And they killed about 36 of them and chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. And at this, the people's hearts melted with fear and they became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down. There's a lot of falling face down to the ground. Have you noticed that? And he fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and he remains there till evening. The elders did the same, dusted their heads with dust. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side. Pardon your servant, Lord. But what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country, they'll hear about it. They'll surround us and they'll wipe out our name from the face of the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? God, I'm worried about us. I'm worried about you. How could this happen? Why would you bring us this far only to have this happen to us?" And notice the whole time, Joshua's blaming God. Say it. Do you see it? And what does God say? Check this out. "Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned." That thought never crossed his mind. He blamed God. "I tried that. It doesn't work." Come on, somebody. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. And they've put them with their own possessions. And that is why Israel can't stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they've been made liable for destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. And then they had to figure out who did this. And that's a whole other story in and of itself that I encourage you to read your Bible, because it's a great story of how they finally figured out who took something that was devoted to God, because God says, "It's mine." Yep. Jericho is the first, "I'll give you everything, but this one's mine." Yep. So here's the start of this series. We're going to talk a lot about how is God first? How do we put God first? But I said, as I do every time we do a series, I always want to teach the first week of a new series. I want it to lay the platform, the foundation for the next 3 weeks at Wave Church. Your campus pastors will do a great job. How many love your campus pastors? Come on, show some love. So I'm just asking, is God first? Amen? I don't want us walking out going, "Well, yeah, he is." I want us to go home. I want us to talk about it as a family. I want, when we're walking, is this putting God first in our life? Is this trusting his word and his will, or are we trusting in our own strength? How do we put God first? Amen? I want to provoke you today. That's all I want to do. I want to provoke you to really begin to think and reflect upon this theme for the whole year. Am I putting God first? I believe with all my heart the way in which we put God first is by giving God the first day of the week, which is Sunday. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. What you do with the first, you redeem the rest. Amen? Do you receive the word? Come on. Amen.